Blog Talk Radio.
Radio, and the topic for today is our trim campaign. And uniquely, as always, we have been able to provide a wonderful segment each week, every Wednesday at 5:30 for the past 7 months. And we are equally proud that we have been able to reserve experts in the field of different topics. I wanted to stress most proudly about President Obama's speech yesterday night, and it meant more to me in hearing this wonderful man address the issues of health and preventive health and wellness. And as you know, at the end of each month, we do a health and wellness piece each month to talk about different variables regarding preventive health. And I wanted to let everybody know that we are airing live from Stone Mountain, Georgia. Today is January 25th, 2009, and I want to thank everybody to join our call forum today. The topic today is about our health and wellness preventive division that we have, and I want to thank all the callers. I want to welcome callers as in order. Caller from 404-457, welcome.
Hey.
Hey.
Okay, caller from 404.
This is Dr. Hornbuckle.
Okay, Dr. Hornbuckle, very good. Our fearless leader is here, Dr. Melanie Hornbuckle from
Loving Care Family Chiropractic.
Yeah, I was going to get there. Okay. And we have a caller from 404-274.
Hello, this is Michelle Uchiyama.
Okay, Michelle, welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Caller from 678-468.
Adana here. Hello,
great.
Karima.
Thank you. And I got a caller from the internet. Caller 4. And we have a caller from 219.
Hi, how's everyone today?
Very good. And we have a caller from 678-379-4267.
Hello, this is Lloyd here.
Okay. And wanted to inform everybody about our lineup today. It's a very wonderful situation that we have in regarding our health and wellness piece. I said earlier that we feel very proud in being able to divert a lot of our attention to preventive health and wellness. And I wanted to welcome everybody to the
Thank
call.
Thank you.
And everybody that's on is a individual that is very conscious about their their health and understanding of preventive health. So I also had a wonderful caller that is going to be on our show. It's going to be Chef Ohaibi of the Wellness Team with Dr. David Lee. He is a PhD in addiction. And I just saw that he came on for a moment, and I want to welcome him to the call. Thank you, sir, for joining us today.
Hello.
You're welcome.
Very good.
Yes.
And we have a caller from 646-322. Thank you. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
It's me.
All right.
Henrietta.
Mm-hmm. All right. So
Professor Morgan.
Okay.
Chef Ohaibi.
Okay. So we've actually, we have about, we have some of our stronger folks that's been involved in our health and wellness on. And to create this forum today, I wanted to thank everybody in coming on, and I want to thank Dr. Hornbuckle personally for taking some time out of her schedule. And all the doctors is on the line today. I feel like that if I fall out, I'll be okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I wanted to directly just open up and allow Chef Ohaibi to introduce his team, his wellness team, and then we could kind of follow into some of the provisions and things that that you guys pretty much wrap yourselves around as the other callers on the show today are doing. And I want to remind everybody that please, if you're going to log off, just let us know. And I definitely want to get everybody's information and let everybody know this is a static footprint for the coalition. Our means as a coalition, people often ask, what does it have to do with construction? And I always tell people, what if you get a $30 million project and soon as right at the table before you sign that contract, you drop dead? So I would think that people want to have a little more clarity about their bodies and how they conform. So Chef Ohaibi, I appreciate everything. Welcome to the call. Could you tell everybody about yourself that's on online?
Yes, thank you very much for having me. The purpose of the wellness team is to help empower people of their total wellness, to get a clear understanding of the different modalities it takes to help your body heal. And the average American, obviously, with the statistics of obesity and problems we have, they're unacquainted with what to do themselves. And everybody is turning to different modalities that are out there that are failing people. I mean, I'm an emeritus member of GPAN, the Georgia Coalition for Physical Activity and Nutrition, on the Department of Human Resources. And it seems every year they want to add 30 minutes or 15 minutes to exercise, which is very important. But when people go home, they exercise, they don't know what else to do. They don't know what's wrong with their body. And these modalities that we're going to introduce will help people empower themselves and others to recognize what is wrong with their body and what the options are to fix it. And Dr. Lee has some of the greatest technology, 31st century technology, on the market. So that's basically where we're headed with the wellness team and Dr. Lee and the Hyperbaric Center up in Cummings and the modalities of healing. So if you have any questions, Dr. Lee's on the line and I'm here and we can help you.
Yes, I have a question.
Go ahead.
In dealing with the modalities of the bodies, do you work in a way prescribing specific types of programs that, like, for example, my practice is in Ayurvedic and also Chinese medicine. So what I do, I work with the body types based upon the five rings. And a lot of times when we are working with people to have them a set program, we have a specific routine, even right down to the eating habits, you know, of that particular body type, you know, when.
Exactly. What I want to lead off with is without the elimination channel being opened and being able to dump these toxins, virtually anything you take, as you know and I know, is useless. You know, it can't do its complete program unless it's specifically designed for the digestive system and it's opened up and can accept it.
Definitely.
But yes, we do. And I'm a compounding herbal pharmacist myself. Dr. Lee, do you want to add?
Well, I think what the doctor is talking about is very appropriate because each person is individual. There is no magic bullet out there with a protocol for a disease process or a symptom that will answer everyone's calling. Mm. Each person is individualized, and that's what the programs are all about. When we start off by healing from the inside out, it allows you to have the opportunity to find what that particular person's special needs are first before you start throwing a bunch of modalities. Remember, that in as much as the modalities we all use, most of them are excellent, but by themselves they may not be adequate.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're looking for is a way to heal from the inside out and then use the modalities as supportive measures so that each person is available and has something that's not contradictory to maybe their body type or their blood type or their, you know, their exercise type, et cetera. So I applaud the good doctor for that because that is very much a key part of the individual effort.
Definitely, most definitely.
A best way that I can tell you that we're utilizing a technology called EON. It's emotional organizational neurology, which allows us to unburden the body of all of the stressors that are identified that are in storage. And instead of carrying this big bag of stressors around, and the bag gets heavier and heavier as the older you get, is we're able to identify them and paraphrasing perhaps maybe from Dr. Hammer's work of New German Medicine. We're able to identify the stresses and the surprises and the attacks that have come to the body. Your body starts acting like it's a computer or a holographic computer, as I call it,
mm-hmm.
and starts running programs to avoid the pain and aggravation of all these stressors.
Hmm.
Well, oftentimes, when you start to avoid the pain and aggravation of your stress, create new ones. So what we're doing is we're identifying these stressors and eliminating them one at a time, just like we would reprogram your computer.
Mm-hmm.
For a home page. If you wanted to change your email home page, you need about 3 clicks of the mouse, and it's pretty simple, and it's done, and it's permanent. That's exactly what we're doing with the EON technology, is we're reprogramming a person to how they react to their stressors, and then it's much easier to apply modalities to assist them in ridding the stressors or the toxins from their body instead of just doing a shotgun effect.
I see, definitely.
And with me being a life coach and people like me, once the people leave and they have this information, then we can help them with the diet, the herbal diet, and the different raw foods or things that eating, as we all know, for the blood type is very essential, as Dr. Lee is an expert on this. And so coaching and following through and teaching people these modalities is very essential once they leave the healing center to take care of things on their own, to empower them to be able to have the knowledge to facilitate this for others.
I see.
Let me kind of derive at this conversation a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I have about 14 callers on. That's very interesting in the forum and in the chat room. So welcome for those who are online. I wanted to welcome Kerline to the show. Okay. Kerline Astro, and I wanted to welcome caller from 510465. I know this is Destiny Muhammad, our Youth Build Executive Director. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
Very
Destiny.
Good.
Hey there. Dindael?
Good afternoon.
Dindael. Yeah, I'm
good.
On.
Yes.
Good. I hope you introduced yourself.
I don't know. I think I did. Dindael Morgan.
No, sure.
Yes.
Great. My apologies. I'm in between meetings now, but I did want to sign on and listen. I overheard a conversation in regards to raw food. That's great. Keep talking.
Well, raw foods are very essential. People sometimes jump in them too quick before their system has a chance to build up the right enzyme. So training people to be able to, for instance, like putting a piece of broccoli in your mouth and holding it will trigger the enzymes in your mouth and tell your body to get ready to digest bulk. But a lot of times people, there's something going on in their body and they may not be making the enzymes, and we're blessed in the time when there are good enzymes like alpha-galactosidase and beta-galactosidase enzymes that you can take to help digest these complex carbohydrates. So that's essential. But raw foods and juicing is I don't have to tell you guys, because you know how essential it is to the healing. Living cells, living food makes living cells.
Definitely. What about living water? Some people that are experts in the Kagan living water. I guess that's the right analogy for it. Am I right, Gloria or Henrietta?
Yes, exactly right. And I am a raw foodist myself and have added to that diet alkaline water through a product of Kangen water. And there are you know, just a number of alkaline waters that are available. And with you saying living food, can you also add to that dialogue about living water?
Yeah, and there's many books, religious books written, the Quran, the Bible, you know, the Jewish Bible, Hindu, and they speak of living water. And that actually the water, that living water that comes from the earth, is water that's ionized in microscopic minerals, but it also has a pH level on it. And as Dr. Lee, one of the leading most authorities on pH in water, real quick, I can tell you that the pH level, Dr. Lee, if I'm not mistaken, should be 7.365. Is that correct, Dr. Lee? You want to elaborate on that?
That's the number that's as close to perfect as we can get. What I find in the early years of practice, now this is year 26, but in the early years of practice, I found that we were using a lot more of the alkaline water and calling it living water because we were trying our best to alkalize people's systems, and they were depositing, you know, acid deposits here, acid deposits there, leading to rumors, tumors, cancers, et cetera. And what I really found out was that the body operates really optimally with the bloodstream at 6.5 or thereabouts, depending on which source you're reading, but in that realm, which means if we put water in at the, my PhD is in public health also, so we when you study water treatment plants, the municipality's standard is 6.0 on the pH scale, which is really good to keep mold and fungus and stuff like that out of the pipes while it's sitting out on the street corner waiting to come to your house, but not necessarily good for what's happening inside your body when you try to ingest that water. So what happens is you put 6.0 water in your body, and then, of course, your body has to convert it into something they can use inside the cells, which would approximate 7.365, which means there's a lot of energy exposed for that, a lot of calcium exposed for that for buffering, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the good-willing therapist would say, well, we'll drink some 8.0 and balance that. But by the same token, eventually, if the person is doing all the other stuff right, they're a raw foodist, or they're being very careful about their overall body pH, and then they begin and continue for a long period of time to drink the alkalized water, then they're putting their body through just as much stress for their body to convert that water to 7.365 to get it into the cells as they would be if they were drinking acid water. So there's really a balance there that has to happen, a balancing act that has to happen. And once somebody is in a pH balanced lifestyle, that you want to drink water that is more likely to match your bloodstream over the long haul than you would be to continue to do long-term of alkalization of the water. Because the number
Dr.
one
Lee
source... Go ahead.
Dr. Lee has a Jupiter machine, and those things are very, very essential. I have one myself, and I personally recommend it to anyone to help to know what your pH is and to help it with the water. So, Henrietta, you're exactly on time with the pH.
Well, I know there's a lot of machines out there, and I'm not, you know, certainly not trying to advertise my machine over somebody else's or anything like that. I'm just trying to say that what I have found in my research is that eventually when the person's body becomes destabilized and there's no reason to over-alkalize for long periods of time, you know, or continue to do that, because if you're doing everything right, then you want to eliminate the stressors, and one of those stressors would be water that's either too high or too low on the pH scale. Let's just get it back
and
to...
And the other thing, like, the other thing that I really hear you talking about, this is Adana again, is that in essence, it's really important for each one of us to be in touch with our own body chemistry.
Exactly.
To know that, to understand that. And there are a lot of things, information that we read about, you know, this is good for us, that is good for us. But what is really good for us is that which is most customized for us. And mm-hmm. I really believe
exactly.
with alkaline water that, you know, no matter what we're doing in life, water is so basic, so essential to us. And I always like to quote these statistics that our body, of course, is made mostly of water. Approximately 85% of our brain is water, 80% of our blood is water, 70% of our muscle is water. And so water is just, you know, the basic essential. Mm-hmm. And understanding what our particular body needs and understanding what is water and what is not water and how water best serves us really leads us to the best water that we can drink. No matter whatever else is going on, water is the basic element.
Let's look at another thing. I wanted to welcome Carleen again on to the forum. Are you there, Carleen?
I'm here.
Great. Thank you. Welcome to the call. I think I've been taught a lot in the last year on holistic areas and herbal levels of preventive care, alternatives that can drive the cost of healthcare down if we look at preventive health opposed
absolutely.
To some of the things that President Obama mentioned, and I was just looking at his speech here, and that cost is going to be astronomical if people like yourselves do not come to the forefront and identify and reach people like myself. And I'm just going to be honest with everybody online. I ordered a Domino's pizza. He knocked at the door like right before you got
hey!
Came on. So I now feel bad. I've only eaten one slice, so I apologize to all of you all. But I certainly appreciate.
Well, that's not a cheat. That's a treat.
Okay, very good. Well, I don't understand why has the government not approached, you know, what everybody that is on this forum? Why have they not approached, maybe Carleen, the holistic areas of, you know, you have children and you elected not to have them immunized at all, but you anytime they are. Do get ill, you do a different approach. And what is that you do?
I mean, I have several different things. I've actually incorporated both traditional practices and non-traditional practices. I'm not completely oblivious to some, you know, medical practices that are traditional use. So, you know, if they're, you know, the way I was raised is, at least my mother, she never took us to a doctor. Literally, if the eye was coming out of the socket, she would just pull out her sewing machine and we'd have to put our face underneath the machine. literally. And, and some people may, there might be some child safety laws against that, but nevertheless, we have 10 children and we're fine. A lot of what I do extends from my upbringing and growing up and now coming into adulthood, as far as with the government, it's not profitable. You know, it's not profitable. My sister-in-law recently had a child, and she had in the hospital. And most people that know me know I discourage hospital births. I'm heavily into midwifery and having home births, and I believe that it's an ancient practice that has served us well over the years. And a lot of the diseases and the ailments that exist today are self-created. And therefore, if they're created by man, they can be destroyed by man. And it's just up to us to help preserve some of the natural resources that have that the government and all kinds of people are trying desperately to eliminate. So I combine both holistic health, herbalism, and homeopathy. And homeopathy is a healthy mixture of both lifestyles. So like I said, I'm not completely stupid. I just don't panic when it comes to at least the health of my children or the health of myself. And there are a lot of preventative things that can be done if you're just conscious of your body, because our body speaks to us. It talks to us all the time. Mm-hmm. I used to at one point advocate one way of a diet. I've been everything from a raw foodist to a vegetarian to a vegan to a carbohydrarian, a fruitarian, you know, wow. In college, you know, they're just like, oh, just be, you know, they're just, you just run the gamut of the different types of diets you can incorporate. And what I've found is that the best way is to have a balanced approach. So
that's
I'm
right.
not,
knowledge is power.
Yeah, I'm not anti-meat, I'm not pro-meat. I'm not anti anything. I say listen to your body, because my body talks to me. So I know there are times where I don't feel a certain way. I tell my daughter all the time, because she used to be vegetarian, and I've recently given her a choice. And she says, well, Mom, you know, how do I know what's going on? And she's like, well, I'm feeling fatigue. And I was just like, well, maybe if you eat one less bacon strip, perhaps, you know, that would help with your fatigue. And she said, well, Mom, I'm experiencing some acid reflux. Well, maybe if you stay away from the pop, you know, that would help that out a little bit. And so I that's your body talking to you. It's telling you, that's rejecting certain things. It's telling
that's
you what
right.
you need to kind of slow down on, what you need to increase on, you know, in terms of your vegetable intake, especially when it comes to live foodism. And I know people that live exclusively off the raw food diet, but I don't think that exclusively living off raw food diet, if you don't, makes you have a poor diet. So, and then you have different things that incorporate into, you know, the solstices, the winter solstice, the spring solstice. You know, you have different things like that that also help to guide your dietary regimen. So it's a very, you know, I'm sorry, were you saying something?
Well, what we're basically saying, all of us are saying here together, is power is knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Knowledge is power.
Yeah.
So we're blessed at a time that we have the ability, with like Dr. Lee has, with a machine called SpectroVision that can analyze you and read your body non-invasive, and determine this, and with that knowledge, and then training people, as we all have a talent for that, training people to recognize these signs in the body, then it starts the body and mind working again.
Right.
And the beautiful thing about this SpectroVision, Dr. Lee, I'll let you elaborate more on that.
Well, I'll be glad to answer the question on that. I want to let her finish her thought first, though.
Oh,
No, it's okay. I think you. I mean, I think he said basically what I was saying is that you just. It's a very personal experience, you know, how you, move forward in your diet and different things that you put in your body and different things that and things that come out and things that don't come out because of the result of the things that we put
exactly.
in.
Exactly.
You know, so the more you know, and the more different technologies that. I think we need to work in sync with technology and what you're going to explain more about is the machine that you created or that you are going to talk more about to help us to be able to gauge some of these things, help us to be able to see what's going on. And I go to a doctor, and sometimes they can tell me, you know, what I need more of, what I need less of, and I go to an herbalist to tell me. If I need more protein in my diet, if I need more more sodium. It just depends on what it is. And it's lucky that we are in an age where we do have things that technology can work with the times and not against it in terms of what
exactly.
we're trying to do as naturalists.
Exactly.
Right. Well, I'm blessed just to be in a crowd of people that understand all these components, because as a matter of practice for us, we use homeopathy, we use herbology, and many other particles of this. And what Chef was talking about with the SpectraVision is a apparatus. It's a multi-channel EAV device. The EAV stands for electrical acupuncture, according to Vol. And there are many EAV devices out there. And the reason that I chose the SpectraVision is because it is a multi-channeled. In other words, instead of testing one thing at a time and doing a lot of point testing, it'll test 144 substances every 2 seconds. So it really allows us to speed up the process astronomically to identify any and all stressors that your body's been exposed to that you haven't gotten over, and then list them on a computer screen by name, whether it be emotions or parasites or bacteria or the lack of a vitamin or a mineral or any component that you dial up or anything that you can think of on the planet that you might want to test. You can run this type of a scan, and in about between 5 and 15 minutes, depending on how many categories you've chosen, you can have a complete printout of that person's their life. It's scary accurate how you can read their mail.
Hey,
Dr. using this device. Yes.
The machine itself, are you in a position now where you can make it affordable for people who are just learning about this or just coming into this, that, you know, this would help them? Because, you know, we got a lot of things we talk about, the whole thing of the naturalist and the food and everything, and most people think it's, you know, it's too much to, you know, you can't spend it too much, but actually it's not really. If you really know how to really maneuver, you can really get some real good quality food. But at the same time, when you're talking about the machine, is it feasible where you have it set up where people can actually operate it, or is it, you know, set up in a way where people can afford to actually take the test?
Well, the testing itself, yes, it is. I think it's very affordable for that aspect of it because, for example, you know, we run the gamut of all of these tests that we'll talk about today, including the SpectraVision, including the Eon, including, you know, pulse electromagnetics, ionic foot baths, live blood cell, dark field microscope. You know, I'm probably leaving things out, but, you know, the course of 2 or 3 hours worth of testing and results all at the same time for $99. So I think that's ridiculously affordable.
Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So I think we've made it to that point on purpose that something that normally would cost you at certain centers or whatever may cost anywhere from $1,200 to
$12,000. Yep.
You can do it for less than $100. And we also, every September, this year is no exception, in Atlanta, we're going to run a class for physicians and practitioners of all types to come in and experience all these different modalities where they can actually see, feel, touch, get treated, feel it for yourself, see what it's like, you know, even for some of the technology that, you know, maybe a practitioner wants to add to their clinic, but they don't want to go out and spend, you know, a lot of money on something until they've tried it out on themselves. So we do that every year as well.
Well, make sure that I'm on your list there, Pathfinders.
Okay.
You
can contact us afterwards, and we'll make sure you're on our email list for that so that you can know when it is. Yes, ma'am.
Let me, I'm glad everything has a succession level in doing so, and I think we've climbed from the holistic level to the spectrum, and we're looking at the same collaboration. When you talk to chiropractors, one thing that I've learned from Dr. Hornbuckle is that there's an enormous amount of levels of understanding about your body based on just doing some checkups on yourself. If I'm correct, Dr. Hornbuckle?
That would be absolutely right. I have enjoyed myself hearing everything so far. It always amazes me when people know as much as they know. Because when we know, so many people have no idea, you know, how to take care of themselves, and it's great that we're becoming more knowledgeable of these things.
True.
But yes, chiropractically is also one preventative measure that was created for us to make sure that the body is in line. When the body's in line, it can function as it should. And someone said earlier, being able to heal from the inside out. That's exactly how it's supposed to be. But sometimes we let toxins and different stresses get in our way, and the body can't do what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. So that's when we have to give it a little nudge and do those preventative things that we need to do to keep it moving like it should.
Mm-hmm. With all this wealth of knowledge on, and I asked the question before I jumped in there, why, we said the federal government, why has the federal government, our government, not taken these techniques and bring those forth in mainstream? I understand it's money, and I think Chef Paul Heidi mentioned when we had conversations earlier that the medical sales is like $850 billion a year.
Yeah.
It's going to climb to 2012, $3 trillion. Is it that our lives as human beings, are we looking at people who are using us as guinea pigs in order to increase their profits? Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, as we talked about earlier, I keep up with statistics. I am just a nut on that. And I research, unbelievable research, and their own records. And I can tell you where to go online and find all this information. All right, their own information, their anticipated sales for this year will go over, ready for this, everybody hold on, over $950 billion, not million, billion dollars. And their projected sales, as any company well orchestrated would have a projection, by the year 2013 will be $1.3 trillion in the United States alone. So to answer your question about that, sure. I mean, when you're bringing in that type of revenue, it's driven. And I'm not saying that there isn't a place for pharmaceuticals, because there is. There's certain things that you may need at a specific time when it's broken, but it's certainly obviously money driven. As I pulled up a site just yesterday, and there are a lot of sites that try to confuse the issues, but when you want facts, you go to the source. When you want good health, you go to the source of the problem. And as all of us are in line on this, and we all agree, we're all in total agreement here.
What's the website? One website that you could send us to for?
Well, real quickly, two of them is, one of them is Health Freedom USA.org, and you can go to, again, that's Health Freedom USA.org, and you can go Google Doctor Dr. Sherry, S-H-E-R-R-I, Tenpenny, T-E-N-P-E-N-N-Y, .com. And she is a medical doctor that was doing research and has done over 6,000 hours, and she will show you documented information from the CDC, their own records on vaccinations, and a lot of these things. So that's two sites. And for Dr. Lee, I would recommend checking out his site at www. Dr. Lee, you want to give it to him?
doctor.net.org.
Let's move a little bit further, guys. I wanted to bring this.
Okay.
Now we're into a level where Michelle Uchiyama has completely allowed my mind to understand that there is a succession level that's been built with the Vital Living Center that the coalition has partnered up with her on. And I guess I understand that's why the urban farming is so important, Michelle, and how you're structuring this living community, if I'm not correct, right?
Correct. Because it goes back to actually how the food is grown, it's going to impact our body when it enters our system.
Amen.
So we need to grow local. Is in the farming component, our food is being shipped long distances, and so it's picked too ripe. It can't mature with the vitamins and nutrients that are necessary for us to absorb. And so by growing local, we can leave things on the vine longer, and we can manage the nutrients in the plants that we're growing. The other thing is we can ensure the type of plants from a scientific perspective are not meddled with, okay? Because you can have variations of food that may not be nutritionally of value to you and your body.
Or have salmonella. What is it? Salmonella peanut butter.
Salmonella.
Peanut butter is not even safe anymore.
Well, that comes in the processing of the food. But that's why the urban farming is so important, and security issues. We have shortages of food as well, and nutritious food, and the cost of food is going up so that the working poor can't even afford to eat it. So teaching people how to grow food is going to become more critical so that they have access to food at a reasonable cost.
May I say something? When I was a youngster, we grew up in the welfare system, and we had to use food stamps to purchase food. And there was a time when food stamps were used to purchase seeds to grow food to feed yourself. Now, I don't know if that statement is still available, but I grew up in a project where each one of us had a little plot of land. Some folks grew flowers, but I always knew, even as a youngster, that if we used that plot to grow corn, which a lot of my Hispanic families did, they used the front lawns of their yards to grow corn, and in the back they would raise what today we call organic chickens and goats.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I
remember that because I grew up in Allgaier Gardens in Chicago.
And I grew up in Southern Cal in L.A.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying is that the government had in a way, because we almost talk about the government and we demonize it, but even the demon has gifts. You just got to recognize them.
That's true, but one of the things that you all have, the coalition, is the power. Now, because, you know, Obama mentioned this last night, the subsidies, we are going to have to change public policy in for food stamps to be able to buy because of the subsidies, and we do agriculture now, we are going to have to change policy. We're going to have to change policy in more than one place. I don't know if everybody's here in the state.
Michelle, your phone is going, we're cutting
out
really
up,
bad,
yeah.
Really bad.
Yeah.
Is that any better?
We're hearing every other word.
That's better.
Is that better now?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. The other interesting thing is we're feeding our children processed food when they go to school every day. And although the government, you know, is saying that they're asking for nutritious food to be delivered to our children, it's still processed, and they're not getting the full nutritional value. And right now in Georgia, we have state contracts for food service provision that does not allow schools to get fresh foods every day to the children, so they can't have raw foods or fresh foods because of contractual issues.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to have to change some of the farm-to-school policies, some of the purchasing policies. There's a whole public policy component around health and food that we're going to have to do something about in order for health to be community-wide and a community consciousness.
Now, just out of curiosity, is this being done now? Because, I mean, as a collective effort, all of us on the phone at this point in time, we all are in the health profession. So wouldn't it be more advisable to just put this in the forefront toward the government, I mean, towards the Obama administration now, that, the voice is heard?
That's what this wellness team is about, and that's why I'm working with Michelle and Dr. Lee, and now all of us. That's the direction we're traveling. And one of you mentioned that you grew things in your yard, but listen to this: genetically modified seed won't reproduce. So you've got to go to the people that grew that seed and buy more seed that has a Roundup chain or something in it, and the nutrition level of the food is nothing. It's just fast growing. So
right.
ConAgra actually raided the seed banks with their permission, And there's a website you can go to find out. And they got a sample of every seed known that we have in the United States or anywhere. And they genetically modified them. And our government let them patent those seed. So if those seed get in someone else's field and start growing, and they can actually, and there's court cases in North Dakota and in Canada where they have made them burn their seed and burn their crops because of infringement of the patent seed. So,
that's crazy.
Yeah, well, it is, but it's what we've done with our government system in creating business process patents. Mm-hmm. So there are several levels of public policy that we're going to have to address as a collective. And yes, we need to be on this right away. And we're in the process of writing some grants. We're in the process of communicating the information so that we can get people addressing this. But, for example, in the city of Atlanta, we can only do a certain level of urban farming here because of zoning laws. We can't have goats. We can't have chickens. We can't have some of the things that are needed to create self-sufficiency on an urban farm. And so we're in the process right now of working with an urban agriculture committee made up of citizens to address an urban agriculture policy with the city of Atlanta and change some of these policies so that we, in fact, can begin to do real urban farming.
Hmm. And that's what that's the most important part about understanding our collectiveness as a coalition.
Yes.
And
that's right.
And a part of the infrastructure, and Michelle and I have been going back and forth on some things, and we must be the change. And what that's going to transcend into is a collective of understanding that when we put projects together, and this is what I was trying to allude to earlier, when you put projects together, this model, this team that's on the phone, on the lines here, this team is very extraordinary, and I just want to thank everybody for when I said I need a favor. So for those who are online, because I know I try to put people I really don't give people a lot of time, but I think when people's hearts are good and I say I need a favor, and I know I haven't talked to a few people in a while, but they'll say, well, yeah, I can come on, but this is the thing I'm saying. You have true people who allow themselves to be moved based on the just. And for those who don't understand, our mission and our logo is a charge to keep I have, a charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, who gave his son my soul to save and fit for the sky. Now, that's a old song that we sing back in the church. Well, Lowell Mason wrote that, and I believe this is the charge. Can the person that's got the background mute their phone? I'm not sure where you all are, but we're charged to do this. And what I was just alluding to when I talked about that, I know the government is is not the ultimate person that is the bad guy. You know, it's some things that we must do in order to want to be the change. And what I want to do is I'm going to ask everybody to hold on for about a few minutes, and we're just going to take a little bit of a break, and I want to play a beautiful song called Grace by Destiny Muhammad. Thank you.
Ancient calling and the voice of all good tidings. I am the sound of angels' laughter across the moonlight bay. I am all you'll ever need. I am all you'll ever need. I am the wisdom of all elders, I'm the wonder in a child's eyes. I am a cool and gentle breeze on a warm summer's day. I am the blessing you seek. Seek my face. I'm all you will ever need. All you'll ever
this show has turned me into a DJ, I believe. So, but lastly, I want to thank Destiny for calling in from California, and we love that piece. I absolutely love it.
Thank you.
And we also want to let everybody know that was me on the harp.
Well, it was heavenly.
Last week I was one singing, but this week I was on the harp. But that is Destiny Muhammad. She is our executive director and one of our board members, executive director of our Youth Build multimedia, and very, very strong and knowledgeable. And so I wanted to plug her information there. And before everybody gets a little bit late in the show, I just want to take a round robin of, we got 9 callers still on the forum. And just please, for a moment, give your name and your website so we can, just in case people can't stay on the next additional 30 minutes. I want to start with Michelle, 404.
The website is www.charitableconnections.org.
And is there a contact phone number for you?
Yes, it's 404-274-2406.
All right. Thank you, Michelle. And caller, Sister Adana.
Yes, this is Adana, and my website is www.restorationteleconference.com. That's restorationteleconference.com. And we'd like to invite you to join us next Monday, March 2nd, for our 3-year anniversary. You
all
don't
right.
want to miss it. Thank you.
And a caller from 219.
My website is www.
I'm sorry, do you have a name, caller from 219?
Oh, yes, my name is Maggie Freeman. My website is www.prebendiz.com. Thank you.
Right. Caller from 678-379.
Want me to go?
Yes,
yeah.
Please.
Okay. Dindiel Morgan, Pathfinder Institute. That's pathfinderinstitute.com. 925-695-3121.
Okay, caller from 770-633. Could you give us your website and contact information? Caller from 770-633.
Yes, this is Dr. David Lee.
Okay.
770. My office number is 770-973-7533. And because of what we all mentioned about with the money issues on the website, there are very few things of the modalities that we do on the website. But you can find us at Dr. Lee, DOCTORLEE.ORG. I also represent Foot Washing Ministries and Teton Wellness Institute as part of our wellness team. But the best way to contact us is drlee.org, DOCTORORG. Thank you very much.
Okay, and caller from 770-235. I guess that's Chef Boy Heidi.
Yeah, you can reach me at chefboyheidi@hotmail.com. That's chefboyhidy@hotmail.com. And my telephone number is area code 770-949-7760.
Okay, and caller from 646. Henrietta. Okay, Henrietta. Okay, she probably put us on hold for a second. And our caller from 510, please, your telephone number and your websites, please.
Greetings, Destiny here. First, I'd like to thank my executive producer, Kareem Ali, for being so kind to have me on the radio. My website address is www.harpistfromthehood.com, harpistfromthehood.com, 510-465-7794, 510-465-7794.
Okay, and wanted to jump back into the discussion. Can we talk a little bit further about, I think I wrote it down wrong, aphatic medicine? Homeopathic, what causes and make something out of people? Let's see here. I think we were talking about that, Chef Bahidi.
Dr. Lee? Are you still with us, Dr. Lee?
I butchered that completely. I think I had out.
I was explaining to her earlier about
what is it called again? Hello?
Dr. Lee?
Yeah, Dr. Lee's here. I'm just waiting for the question.
I was just butchering.
She wants to know about allopathic, what we were talking about earlier, allopathic medicine versus homeopathic.
Oh, sure. Well, the word allopathic is a Latin word that is translated into to change a symptom. So when you go to an allopathic physician who uses medicine and surgery with a symptom, their job essentially is to change the symptom, and we have no issue with that at all. I love having the availability of having an emergency room nearby, just in case you have a life-threatening situation. That's different from naturopathic or homeopathic or the other terms that you've heard in before. Homeopathic is more about balancing the body with what it's got from the earth and from the body itself. So homeopathy is using homeopathic medicine, which would be a small amount to build up the immune system to get rid of the large amount. Homeostasis is another term you look at that for the body in balance. So we're looking at different things. Naturopathy, another opathy or apathy, would certainly be one where we use things that are natural to balance the body instead of things that are outside the body. Does that help you with those terminologies?
I was just trying to get it pronunciated first, and then I could move more to my notes.
Allopathic,
okay. And doctor, your PhD is in addiction.
Public health.
My first PhD is in public health, and then I did another one in addictionology. But actually started as a chiropractor, so I applaud Dr. Hornbuckle for her comments on there, because I'm absolutely in agreement with that. The issue for me was that when I started my practice of chiropractic 26 years ago, then I was adjusting people, but the people that were coming to see me would have to have the same thing done over and over and over again. So I knew that in order for people to actually be healed or to be doing what the word doctor means, which from Latin English it means teacher, that I needed to teach people how to be able to care for themselves and how to not come to see me as often. So that's why I went back to school so often and became a professional student, according to my wife. We wanted to find a way to teach people to truly be a doctor, to teach people how not to have to come to see me, or not to have to depend upon an adjustment every week, or not to have to depend upon, you know, a medication every week, but to be able to empower them into the point of being able to handle it themselves. And that's what we're all about now. I'm very excited about that, because we're teaching people how to actually control their own health and take, you know, kind of control their own destiny when it comes to good health.
Okay.
A little story that we use in the office is about going for a hike in the woods. If you were to go on a hike in the woods and all of a sudden you noticed a little bit of a soreness and there was maybe a stone in your shoe and it was a little uncomfortable, but you weren't in the spot on the trail where you could stop and take your shoe off and get rid of the stone, so you had to walk crooked for a while until you get to the spot where you could fix that. Finally, you know, you're walking along and you're walking crooked, so now your ankle and your knee start to hurt because you're walking crooked, and then your back hurts on the other side because you're walking crooked, and pretty soon you finally get to the point where you can take that stone out of your shoe. So you sit down and you take the stone out of your shoe and you feel much better about that, but you've created a little blister, so now you got to put a little Band-Aid over that blister and you put your sock and your shoe back on and you go back to the beautiful hike. Well, at the end of the day, you're so sore because of all that effort. My point is, what if we could find out before the stone was in your shoe how to prevent that from happening? Wouldn't that be an awesome thing?
Mm-hmm.
Then you can enjoy that good hike. You can enjoy that good hike through nature without having the issue of having a limping back or a sore leg or a bruise on the bottom of your foot. And that's really what we're all about now, teaching and empowering people on how to do that with the wellness team. You may get someone to come to see you who already has a rheumatoid tumor or cancer, but many of their family members do not, and we're going to teach the entire group, the entire community, instead of just that person who's in a trauma.
Hmm.
Very, very excited to take new technology and take it to the level where people will say, hey, I can do this for myself before I get sick. And that's really where the true prevention is all about, about waiting until after you've been diagnosed with a cancer or an issue like that. To applaud the raw foodists and those people that were talking earlier, and thank you for that, to realize that there's the acid in the body and the pH of the water, it all fits really nicely, but there's only four ways to get too acidic. Very simple. The first way is emotional stress. Emotional stress will make a person more acidic than anything else.
Hmm.
The second way is too many starches in their diet. The third way is the wrong water. And the fourth way is a combination of 1, 2, and 3, which is something that most people in America are doing right now.
Amen.
So it's not really that tough when we think about, well, do you have to eat off of this diet or do you have to eat off that diet? Really, just I like what you said earlier, you know, listening to your own body. Well, all you have to do is to keep in perspective those three things that we tell everybody to do every day. And the first thing you do every day is 10 minutes of prayer or meditation. The second thing is exercising your fitness 10 minutes before breakfast to set your metabolism. And the third thing is to look in the mirror and have appreciation for who you are and what God and you together can do as best friends to make this a better place.
Mm-hmm.
So I say you can do those things at the same time and just spend 10 minutes a day on that, or you can do 10 minutes at a time and spend 30 minutes a day on it. But if all of our patients were to do those three things every day, we'd be the healthiest folks on the planet.
Wow. But I will add Doctor.
We started to identify allopathic, so I hope that wasn't too far.
By the way, Dr. Lee will adjust you.
Yes, we still do that too.
Very essential.
I think the essential part about this dialogue today is there are totally amount of folks who are in our communities, and I say the urban communities, who wait. I think Michelle bears witness to this, is that I think you said there's such an enormous amount of diet what is it, dialysis clinic in your zip code, it's almost horrific, if I'm not mistaken, Michelle.
Yeah, we have 300 people a week going to the dialysis clinic in our neighborhood.
300 a week?
300 a week.
Ooh.
Mm. And it is a very scary thought to understand that even after people are watching their loved ones fade away, that no one wants to be the change. No one wants to look at that and understand. You know, I've had people with the living understanding of the living water and the holistic, and I've eaten some raw food thanks to Michelle Uchiyama. in the last several weeks or several days, so I have an experience of that. And but yet and still, it's very simple to prevent things. And you guys are doctors. There's three doctors. Why do people, for real, why are people with that type of statistics and that type of footprint of people, their loved ones, why are they not trying to change? What is it, a psychological thing? What is the problem, really?
Lack of knowledge.
But the example is physically there in front of you. You're taking a loved one to dialysis. You're taking a loved one to whatever other places they have to go. We have heart disease. My mother has told me, and my sister, she says, heart disease runs in our family, and either you walk or you die. And I walk, and it's very simple, but the truth is there.
But, you know, the other, not only is it not knowledge, but it's also the lack of fear and trust. When you used to...
A lack of fear, I'm sorry, a fear
It has to do with trust and fear, you know, a trust where, you know, they trust their, I call it misplaced loyalty to a profession that is really outdated. You know, and it's not really feeding the people. And then the whole thing around the fear of like, I don't want to do that because I'm not aware of that. And so that stuff is weird. I don't know. And so what happens, there needs to be a re-education of that. And it has to be in a way where whoever's presenting it has to be like them. So they recognize this. And also they have to have the interweave of what's happening and comparing it to what's going on and also different things that people can really register with it. You know, it is a re-education too, but it's also a removable fear that is so strong. You know, there's an old saying that it's called triple A's, and it is said by the old folks now, and some of the ancient ones used to speak of this, particular time frame that we're living in now, and they say the triple A's is adapt, adjust, acclimate. And if we can sort of keep those in, I would say embody those principles of adjusting, adapting, and acclimate, we really would make tremendous shift and changes.
Well,
This is Adana, and I just like to say I'm reading a book that's entitled My Name is Chellis, and I'm in recovery from Western civilization.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. That when I saw the title of the book, I said, I've got to get this. And then I want to refer this question or comment back to the doctor, the addictionologist, that this book is basically, and I'm just in the first couple of chapters of it, but it's talking about nature-based people versus Western civilization. Nature-based people, those who live naturally, as the young lady was speaking about, us planting and going back and, you know, to our roots to do things differently versus those of us who are socialized, conditioned by Western civilization to chase all this stuff outside of us, whereas we have the answers inside talking to us all the time. Our bodies are speaking to us. So I believe that's part of the recovery. But then why are we so addicted to this madness, doctor, when we know it is not working?
Well, the definition of an addiction, according to me and my thesis, was continuing to do an activity despite negative consequences.
That's
because it feels good. It feels good because we're living by fear instead of by faith. Let me define those words for you.
There you go.
Because faith is fear absent in the heart. That's what faith is, fear absent in the heart. And we're living in fear instead, which is false emotions appearing real. So we have shows on TV in the past about Marcus Welby, MD, and things like that, and people just scare you into the point of following through like cattle into the realm of what happens. That's what it is. It's fear of being different, or fear of not being accepted, or fear of not having enough, or fear of not of disease or illness. And with those fears, we're allowing people sometimes who aren't controlling with the almighty dollar to scare that. And I think we're all guilty to a degree. I grew up in a farming community where we grew all our own food, et cetera, and the soil was good. And it worked out well, and my grandfather used to plant, 7 years and let the soil rest a year in 1/7 of his farm, and it worked great. Today, that same farming land is owned by a corporation, and they farm 4 crops per season and never take a break.
Or pine trees.
It's a tremendous amount of fertilizers, et cetera, and I don't live anywhere near there anymore, and I live in the big city of Atlanta, and most of my stuff comes from, the grocery store. So even myself, I've fallen prey to all the pressures of modern civilization from that aspect of it. So I think we're all reaching back to the root of where the problem is, and that is because we have become addicted to quicker, faster, less stress. We think it might be less work, but we're really finding out that the more stress, more and more people are dying of rheumatoid tumors and cancers every day and heart disease every day. And it's not because of the year. It's because of the lifestyle that we live.
Interesting. Very true.
You said you were going to tell us quickly about fear and faith. I think we're due for faith now.
The word faith is fear absent in the heart.
Oh, that's it. I missed that. I'm sorry. Thank you.
F-A-I-T-H, fear absent in the heart. That's how I live. Fear absent in the heart. No fear in the heart, because fear is false emotions appearing real. And in my world, there's only fear and love. There's nothing in between. Everything in between is just a temporary emotion, but there's fear and there's love. And to me, fear is the fuel of the devil and love is the fuel of God. And which one do you choose?
All right. Faith.
Love.
I'd like to read something. I was looking at this. It says from Barack Obama's speech, he says, "Now is the time to jump start creation. Restart lending, invest in areas like energy, healthcare, and education that will grow our community, even as we make hard choices and bring our deficit down. That is what my economic agenda is designed to do, and that is what I would like to talk to you about tonight." And then he started into another section. He says, "That day of reckoning has arrived, and that time to take charge of our future is here." And I say in this forum, the time to take charge is now. There is no tomorrow, because if we wait, and as the good doctor says, a lot of people live in fear. The Quran speaks about the Muslims who moved only when the lightning. They were in the desert, and when the lightning struck, the Muslim would move, and when the lightning stopped, they would stop moving. So you would think about the analogy regarding that is that they would rather move and get struck by lightning, because they feel that the lightning is the light, than move in darkness because of the fear.
Now, this is very interesting, because in my practice, I'm a movement psychologist, so I use movement as a tool to access what we call cellular memory within people's bodies. And so it's about the heart, because my motto is you got to have heart for it to be real. And what I have found out is basically when you're doing those kind of things of invoking a feeling, people have a tendency to make more connection. I mean, talk therapy has this point to a point, but when you get people to physically move and get them to move in certain ways where, I didn't know if I felt this way, they start to access certain aspects of themselves, and then it starts to reveal a lot of things. But it is about movement. It really is.
You're exactly right.
I agree. The difference between life and death is one word: movement. if it's moving of its own free will, it's a living organism. If it's not, it's dead. So the heart tells the brain what to do, and the brain tells the body how to figure out how to get it done.
Definitely.
And if you don't believe that, think about the last time you made a major purchase. Was it your heart or your brain that made the decision?
You know, there are women on this show.
I don't know what to say. I made a bad major purchase of a Saab, and my heart and my mind told me to do it, and then the motor went out 3 days later.
Well, I'm sorry for that trauma, but I'm certain it was the heart that really won that.
Checked out. Just gave the man $8,500 cash. Just was happy because it was red.
My heart goes out to you because red is my favorite color as well. So I totally understand that.
Mine
but
too.
I think the call for action is here, and I think that with the Vital Living Center and what you all, I guess what we all are working towards is internally functioning the policy. And just reading that, I think the new administration is looking for an agenda that will bring a conformity of health care. And when he mentioned preventive health, I literally sat up in the bed and just cried because when we put our site together, I forgot to tell you about our site, it's ncwcc.org. And we have a health and wellness piece, and that health and wellness is something that just in my heart I felt that that would be something that would help the women who are self-employed or have their own firms to have a membership package, a health package. We have a cancer policy with the Duck Aflac. So every member will have a cancer policy. We have our agreement with Dr. Hornbrooker with our preventive care. We have discount health insurance discount program, and then we have a life and preventive measure that my mother, who was on the line earlier, is with Herbalife and have been there for years. And there's a product that Herbalife makes that, you know, God is good all the time, and he brings things and people and people lives at the right time. But my mother has heart disease, and they make a product called I don't know why I went blank and she's not online any longer, but Nightworks. And they had an option whether or not they're going to have surgery on her or what. And so the doctor that prescribed this Nightworks is a gentleman that won the Nobel Peace Prize as well for the formula that he put together. Are you good doctors familiar with that? Nightworks from Herbalife?
No. No.
But that's been a situation where we have the Herbalife. You know, it's not a selling tool for no resolve, but it's a tool to market our understanding that there's a package that is a lot bigger, I'm sure, than what we have to offer. But it's a start. I think we're some of the few organizations do have a health and wellness, but we have a membership benefit package that offers preventive levels of being able to warn off different things. So I just wanted to bring that out for those who have joined the call and have been on with us for the last, 75
years. Yeah, I'd like to add something to that.
Okay.
Is the supplements are essential for some people. If you can't get it in organic or raw form, even though organic can be grown a lot cheaper than they're saying, but remember who controls the food and the prices. But to know if your body needed that particular something or was deficient in something, the equipment Dr. Lee has can read that. You want to explain how that works, Dr. Lee?
So is the ZYTO technology, ZYTO technology, part of the EAV equipment that we use can actually tell you what you're deficient in or if a product is going to assimilate in your body, et cetera, without drawing blood, just simply by wearing either an EKG cuff simulation or by putting your hand on a mode plate. And in about 5 minutes' time, it can tell you what you're deficient in and what's going to work and what's not. And it's not company specific, so it's not like we're trying to sell one company's product over another. What we're trying to do here, and what we're accomplishing is just taking any product from any manufacturer, and if it matches that person, then hallelujah, and we're excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that technology is already available, and we use it every day. So we're excited about that.
It should, you know, I was, Dr. Lee, there should be a way. This is Dendio. Should be a way in which we can get this out a little bit more on a larger scale, so people know it, because not many people know about it. I wasn't even aware of it. You know.
Well, that's what this wellness team, in which all of you are now members, because you're headed down the same path. With working with Michelle, we have plans for centers, and working with Dr. Lee, I've had a vision for a long time, and I have seen it, and I've seen these centers. This center will be consisted of organic grocery store, cafe, and then next door will be the different modalities of healing. And that way, you're talking about a coalition. How about we have a coalition of health, a wellness center?
And I think that's part of why we're with the National Coalition of Women of Color in Construction is because they've got a network already established. And I think through the Vital Living community, we'll be partnering with the coalition on all these different levels, so it'll give access to these resources to the coalition as part of their member base. So I think that's kind of the conversation that we're engaged in right now, and why we introduced everybody to everybody this evening is because this is an opportunity for everybody to come together. And the coalition exists, already has a distribution mechanism, and you guys already have a network of training, and so I think there's a great deal of opportunity here.
Absolutely.
To bring all this together.
Definitely.
Am I saying that correctly, Karima?
Yep.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And one thing is that I wanted to share with you, you also have I think she mentioned at the very beginning of the show, Henrietta Turnquist is also obvious.
I'm right here.
And Henrietta, you are just awesome with your legislative background and your health background and all the components, the legal background you have. It is an awesome opportunity, I think, for this group to connect with you as well, because there's so much synergy here.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. And I wanted to mention that years ago when I was in the legislature, I would hold hearings, insurance hearings, and have the insurance company come to the Capitol, the various companies, and tell me why they won't pay for prevention using the modalities we're talking about today. And this was a good 10 years ago.
Hmm.
And we've got to keep that up. We've got to have hearings. So that the governor and legislators know that there are alternatives out here, because they don't know. And it's up to us to teach them, to show them that there is another way.
Yes, most definitely.
Yes.
That would be appropriate. I used to consult with several of the insurance companies as well, and I would call them more risk management companies than I would be calling them insurance companies or healthcare companies. And I think we just misnamed them, because most of them are in the risk management business, and they only want to spend money on things that aren't going to cost very much money.
That's right.
So we probably need to redefine the paradigm for them, for those who are interested in true prevention, and maybe redesign it for them. And this group might be just a group to help them do that.
I think so. I really think so. And with the legislative session being in now, particularly given this just deluge of money from the feds, there's money coming down, even though the governor said, well, I don't know if I'm going to take the money. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? But we need to go down there. We need to show up with information to give out. I have to check on CAMA. Because CAMA would come down to the Capitol every year.
I'm a member of CAMA. I think Dr. Lee is too.
Well, are there any meetings, or what's going on with CAMA?
Well, Marge Roberts, you know, started CAMA, and she's been so involved with the company that she's working for, and she even tried to hire someone to help manage and run things and was not successful because people weren't oriented this way that she interviewed. So basically, you know, bottom line, let us rise up and build and use CAMA and these other organizations that are there for our benefit.
Right, yeah. Right. Well, do you have her number? I need to give her a buzz.
Yeah, I'll have to give you a call back and to give you the number.
Okay.
But the power is within the group. You know, I see that and feel it and see it. I see the vision of it. And you're right. As a team, we'll go together, and you're going to be surprised how many more people are going to come. The last time I did a program, a worldwide television broadcast out of Augusta, Dr. Lee went with me, and I got 1,300 hits on my email and shut it down. I had calls for months and months about people supporting a plan like this. So we're not alone.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to say, too, this is Adana, that anytime we put something out there into the universe, there are always people waiting for us to show up, always somebody waiting.
Definitely.
And so I,
you're right.
You know, I applaud it. People are just waiting for a stronger voice, or, you know, some people are afraid of doing things by themselves, that fear factor again.
Jeff's not afraid.
And yeah, I applaud Karima and this broadcast tonight and the folks she's pulled together.
And I'm not trying to toot my own horn, but I want to let everybody know that the one thing about the coalition is building social networks. When you build the type of social network and human capital network, information flows faster, quicker. You're able to assess things a little bit easier and be able to have a lot more resources. Our site, and I always tell people, if you want to know, you know, people say it's a lot of information on the site and it's cluttered. But see, this is the thing. We must now start to read. And just like what we have on the site is the American Reinvestment Act. It's very inclusive of a lot of things that all of us are doing collectively, excuse me. And I encourage people to peel away the layers, because that legislative is very healthy. A lot of people don't understand it, and that's why a lot of people are upset, because our network with the Chicago Women in the Trades, Wider Opportunity for Women. If you go back on our site, and I encourage everybody to go back and look at the social network of individuals that we've had on the show since the beginning of the show. It is every way in the word that we are a part of the infrastructure of the community. And I tell people all the time, a lot of people do not realize what the construction industry really, really meant to this country, and a lot of people don't want to admit to it for God earthly reasons, and I know why, because of some of the practices. But when the construction industry started to fail, the country started to crumble. We grew up in concrete, we grew up in construction, and we are second-generation contractors. Myself and my sister and my mother, we run the construction company as well as the coalition in terms of the national level. And if you bear witness to anything, everybody that has a home or has some place for shelter tonight, if the footing begins to crumble at the building that you're in, guess what? Everything else starts to come apart. So we're underpinning, and that's the word that we'll use, the infrastructure of the construction industry and contracting industry. And so I therefore want to thank everyone. We have one minute left into the show, and I want to thank everyone, and God bless everyone, and thank you. And
thank you very much.
Information.
Thank all of you, and God bless all of you.
Same here. Take care.
Everybody have a
good
night, and
good night.
We'll be following up with everybody.
All right, then. Thanks.
Bye.